right, good morning. We are going to pray. Let me make sure I've got clicker. Well, we'll just make it work. So, here's the case for it. I just will use my finger. God gave me a finger for a reason, so it's good. Nope, I can press a button, hopefully. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you that even when it's dreary outside, we have the light of you in our hearts. Lord, we thank you that we can be here together. And I pray, Lord, that you would give me your words. You would speak through me. I pray whatever is from you would fall on soft hearts this morning, that these women would know that they are not alone. They have been given the best friend in the whole world. Lord, I pray that you would be glorified. I pray that anything that is not of you would fall away and not be remembered. Lord, I thank you for all that you've taught me through friendships. Though the road has been rocky and rough at times, you have never left. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. A 9-year-old girl sits down at a table with the popular girls, only to be told she can't sit there. So she changes the way she dresses and acts, leaving her true friends all to become friends with the cool girls. A 33-year-old woman who leaves a dinner with 8 other godly women but cries all the way home because she felt out of place, unwanted, and not good enough in almost every way. A 17-year-old who loses 3 close friends because she made a foolish choice and lied to them, and now sits and watches on the sidelines while they continue their close friendship without her. A 20-year-old living in a house with over 100 women and yet struggles to find one close friend among them. A 30-some-year-old who for years has wanted to meet with a specific godly woman, but her attempts to meet, her pursuits, her texts and invitations continue to be unanswered, and she wonders, is there something wrong with her? A 28-year-old who is constantly surrounded by little ones, never alone, and yet feels intensely lonely, wishing she could find that friend who would be her forever friend. A 35-year-old who leaves her house after a girl's movie night and wonders if there's anything desirable about her, anything special, or is she just an ordinary woman, someone's third choice, but never someone's first choice. Friendship is a topic that carries both joy, growth, and tender, painful wounds in my life. A topic I wish I could say I've mastered and I've got down, but I don't. And in fact, every one of those scenarios are not just scenarios, they are real life snippets from my life. And one was just 2 or 3 weeks ago. I used to think that friendship struggles were reserved for adolescent years, or when you're 5, or in high school. But that once you put on your big girl hat or your adult hat, friendships just snapped magically into place. I thought that once you were married and had children, friendships were no longer painful, awkward, or hard. But after 35 years, I could probably say that the thing in my life that has brought me more tears and painful moments is friendship. I know I'm not alone, and so one thing I pray for this morning is that wherever you are at in your friendship journey, you would know you are not alone. I can also say that in all those pain-filled seasons, God has shown me this, that he is my most precious friend. He is my BFF, and he is bringing glory to himself through these painful refining moments. Are they easy at all times? No. Are they painful? Yes. But are they worth it? Absolutely. When friendship is done God's way, it is a beautiful thing. Are they molding me into a woman who is a better friend to others and is more desperate for my most precious friend? Absolutely. On your table, you'll find, or you'll be given soon, a small anchor charm. And I want you to take these, and you can put them on your keychain, you can throw them in your wallet, put them somewhere. But what my hope is that when you look at it, you'll be reminded of something I hope you take away from today, and that is the truth that Christ is our anchor in godly friendships. BFF necklaces. Remember those? Probably you don't wear them anymore. Or the friendship bracelets. BFF, a best friend forever. We all want one, whether we're 8 or 35, I think even older. We want to be known, accepted, junk and all, loved unconditionally. We long to be desired, worthy, sought out. And I think it's because God planted that desire in our hearts, but only to be filled by Him. If we want to cultivate godly friendships, we must start by recognizing that lifelong soulmate kind of friend only comes from one place. Those shoes are filled by one person alone, and that's Jesus Christ. Your greatest friend, my greatest friend, is Him alone. Christ is the anchor because only He is the perfect friend. And until we get that peace in place, I guarantee you our earthly friendships will be rocky and they won't work in the way that God intended. Do you long for a friend who really knows you intimately without any pretense or mask? The Lord knows a word before it is on your tongue. He knits you together. He knows you better than you know yourself. Jesus is that friend. Do you long for a friend who knows not only your weaknesses and failures, but they're not surprised by them either, and they want to help you in it? We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are. So let us draw near with confidence to Him. Jesus is that friend. Do you long for a friend who desires you, pursues you, enjoys you, even in your darkest moments? While we were still weak, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Jesus is that friend. Do you long for a friend who loves you so much that they would give their life for you? For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus is that friend. Do you long for a friend who is always with you, longing to be with you, longing never to be lonely or alone? Jesus comes and He makes His home in our hearts. Jesus is that friend. Friends, at our very core, all of us long for a friend that God has already given us. Friendship doesn't even capture what we have in Christ. He is not our equal, but He is our first love, our rescuer, our redeemer, our savior. None of the women in this room, or in any room, anywhere in the world, will ever be the friend that Christ already is. When Christ is our anchor in our friendships, we can face our fears in friendships. We don't have to fear the fear of missing out, right? You hear a bunch of women got together and you weren't invited. Christ is your anchor. You do not need to fear. You don't need to fear a friend leaving you because you have a friend who will never leave you. You don't have to fear your friends misinterpreting you or misjudging you because Christ knows you. He knows your heart. Christ is also our anchor because He gives us the vision and purpose for our friendship. So even after Jesus is in His rightful place as my ultimate friend, I have still found myself wishing for that best friend, that lifelong kind of friend. Maybe you have that. Maybe your mom has that. That backdoor kind of friend who walks in your house without knocking, helps herself to a drink or a snack without asking. The one who's like a second mom to your kids. She knows your parents' name. She knows your parents, calls them by their name. See, we can romanticize friendship, dreaming up the perfect friend, just sure that at some point we will find her. As Christine Hoover says in Messy, Beautiful Friendship, one of the best book I've ever read on friends, I commend it to you. She says this: my vision was blurred by my romanticized, idealistic standard of that one true friend to rule them all. I want the sugary sweet, easy come community where we flit into one another's homes without knocking, laugh deep into the night, know one another and are known without effort, and never exchange a cross or challenging word. I typically envision dinner parties and game nights, vacationing together and talking on the phone every day. Now, some of you might actually have that. But I think that those are much rarer than we think. So what is wrong with that dream for friendship? What's wrong with our wish dreams? Well, two things. I think the first, that our wish dreams usually have little to do with bringing God glory and pushing our friends towards Christ, and more about what we hope to get out of the friendship. Our dreams for friendship also become a hindrance to real friendship. We are sinful women living in a fallen world with other sinful women. Our friendships are not dreamy, perfect places where it's always easy, never awkward or hard. And if we don't embrace that, we look to our friends and our friendships to be something they can never be. So once we let go of our wish dreams, we can start enjoying real friendships led by God. I'm going to push back on something a little here. Just bear with me. Maybe for you, it's not just one single friend you've wished for, but for a group. You know, your girls. And now I guess they call it a tribe. Years ago, tribe to me referred to my five kids in tow. I would say, hey, me and my tribe, we're coming. We're going to leave a mess. But now there's this new movement or push with the tagline of find your tribe. I want to caution you in this, though. Just like the wish dream for the one true friend to rule them all, we need to ask ourselves, why do we find the need to, or why do we feel the need to find a tribe? What's the vision or purpose of a tribe? Well, fellowship is important and created by God. But there is a difference between godly fellowship among a group of women versus a tribe, which I believe ultimately becomes a nice way of saying a clique. I have been in a discipleship group for the last almost 4 years. I love these women. These friends are dear to me. But I would not say they are my tribe. Having a tribe or finding your tribe often has little to do with bringing God glory and showing love to all, and more about finding a group of ladies that unfortunately leads to the exclusion of others. I'm not saying it's wrong to have a group of friends and share a group of friends. But I want to challenge you to check your motives in it, to make sure it's not becoming ultimate rather than Christ, to make sure you're open to friendships outside of that group, and to make sure this group has not become a stumbling block to other women. Unfortunately, the church can be a place where cliques are at their worst, when it should be the last place that you would find it. If you find yourself somewhere in that camp of a tribe, I just ask you to ask the Lord to show you your desires, the motives of your heart, and then follow where he leads. We must come back to him as our anchor and let him give us the friendship. We have to let go of the wish dreams and follow his vision. So what is that? What does the word say? As is in the case for every relationship on earth, our friendships are a platform to glorify God. Our friendships are not about making us feel special and making us glorified, but to bring God glory and show how special he is. How do we do this practically in friendships? Well, we love one another as Christ loves. We show the world through our friendship what forgiveness looks like, what love and grace and patience look like. And in doing this, we bring him glory. Does this line up with your vision or purpose for friendships? Is this on your radar when it comes to your friends? It's important to think about our thinking, like Pastor Mark says, because without realizing it, if we aren't careful, we are going to adopt a very different, more self-centered vision of friendship. And without Christ as that anchor, we will be tossed emotionally and our friendships will suffer. Friendship is also for spurring one another on and pointing each other towards Christ. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all time and a brother is born for adversity. Friends, our friendships are to help us walk through valleys. Our friendships are not just a place for idle chatter and fun and going out for coffee, and those things are great. But they are also born for adversity, to walk through the hard things in life together. Friendships are also meant to sanctify us. May this be our vision, his vision. Christ is our anchor because he gives us the best vision for friendship. once we have his vision, we have to look to him for his example. See, enjoying the beauty of godly friendships begin with us. They should begin with us. And yet I feel so often we come to friendships saying, all right, what do you got for me? What are you going to give me? Are you being a good friend? We look at our scales. Are they giving what I'm giving? Instead, it's about what kind of friend are we being to each other? Just as Christ was the perfect friend and is the perfect friend to us. We have no better example than Christ. So what is his example? Number one, he considered his friends more significant, pouring himself out for them, knowing he would not receive much in return. I have a longtime friendship that has been sweet at times, but for many years has been very hard. This friendship has never felt 50-50. It has been more like 90-10. It was usually me pouring out, reaching out, caring for her, and receiving very little in return. I asked the Lord several times if that season of friendship was over, but he continually made it clear that I was to continue to pour out. He taught me that earthly friendships are not about what I am getting or whether the scales are balanced, but about humbling myself as he did and considering them more significant. Was it hard? Yes. Was it painful? Yes. Is it still hard at times? Absolutely. But isn't that how Christ treats us? Giving himself up for us when we have given him nothing in return? Sometimes walking away from him? About a month ago, I was really, really struggling with things, and I had a friend pour herself out for me. My husband was in Europe for a week. My five kids were battling, coughing. We had just gotten over the vomiting bug, and of course, that led right into the cold bug. And I was struggling emotionally with some things, and I left the doctor's office, and then all of a sudden a migraine came on. And I called her because she was planning on coming and bringing me dinner and enjoying it with her kids, and I informed her that I had kids with colds, kids with ear infections, and that I was now battling a migraine. She could have gone home, and I would not have blamed her, but she didn't. She could have come over, worn a mask in my house, dropped the meal off on the counter, and bolted out the door to get to the car to hopefully not get sick, but she didn't. Despite my proud protests, she lovingly and graciously brought her three children into my home with dinner, sent me upstairs to bed while she watched her kids and mine and prepared dinner. That is what kind of friend Jesus is to us. He poured himself out, even if he didn't get something in return, and he served and served and served. John 15:13, Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. We might not have to lay down our actual lives for our friends, but are we at least willing to lay down our schedules, our time, or maybe even risk catching a few germs in order to love our friends well? Jesus was also the kind of friend who was full of grace, lavishing it on his friends and forgiving them over and over. You know, I find it interesting as I was preparing for this talk that we enter marriage knowing that it will be hard and it will take work, right? If someone, you're about to get married and someone says, just so you know, your husband's going to bother you at times. He's going to sin against you. He's going to annoy you. It's going to be a lot of work. Do you still want to do it? Of course, we say, yes, absolutely. But we approach friendships, I find, seems, as if they should be the easiest, sin-free, pain-free relationships that we have. We are often quick to become offended, slow to forgive, and almost shocked when our friends sin against us. We are commanded in Ephesians to walk in a manner worthy of our calling, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity in the spirit of the spirit in the bond of peace. And then just a handful of verses later, we are commanded to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. How? As God in Christ forgives us. Does that match how you and I approach our friendships? We're also very slow to see our own sin against our friends. We forget that what causes fights and quarrels among us, James says, is our own selfish desires. We're quick to justify our actions and our responses. Instead, as we're told in Hebrews 12, we're to strive for peace with everyone. So are we? Are you quick to overlook an offense when your friends sin against you? Or do you give the silent treatment to your friend, hoping that magically she'll understand that maybe she said something offensive? I don't know, but I know that we have Jesus as the perfect example. We're called to love, be quick to forgive, and slow to become angry. Jesus also is the perfect example because he was real and authentic all the time. Over the years, I have realized that one of the best ways I can be a friend to others is by being authentic and vulnerable. I don't try and act like I have it all together. The people who know me in this room know that I never look like this. I don't. I'm in sweatpants most of the time, and I haven't showered, and I don't usually wear makeup. So, are we willing to let our hair down and take off our makeup, per se? It's okay if you actually wear makeup most of the time. Maybe I'll get to there some point, but just not these days. Are we willing to let our friends see that we need Jesus every hour? Or are we so quick to act like we have it all together? I have known women who seem to always be doing well, even in their struggle. I know they have struggles because they're human. And yet, when we keep ourselves in and we don't allow ourselves to be real and authentic with others, it truly puts a roadblock in friendship. And that friendship will only go so far. Jesus is the perfect example because he gave his friends something he had limited time of, limited amount of his time. Ladies, friendship takes time and effort, especially when all of us are wives and mamas. Friendship seems to have taken a back seat, and in some ways that is right. Our husbands and children deserve our highest devotion and attention. But Christ doesn't ask you to throw friendships in the trunk until your kids are off to college. Instead, we have to get creative if we want to cultivate godly friendships, because yes, they take time and effort, and I will say a lot more time and effort once you're married and have kids. Perhaps that means you wake up early once a week to meet a friend at 6 a.m. for coffee so you can get back before your husband leaves. I know you're tired. I am too. Maybe it means you invite a friend and her kids over for lunch and hot cocoa without waiting until your house is clean, or without scrambling and cleaning it up the hour before she comes so she thinks your house is always clean. I'm not a huge fan of using my phone too much, but for me, I've recently found apps like Voxer or Marco Polo. These are probably some, to me, these were like new concepts to me as of like a few months ago. But now I'm hip, I'm with it. But these have become honestly gifts in my friendship as a way to stay connected. Does it take time? Yes. But I know that by taking a few minutes once a day, maybe in a few times a day, it's usually I retreat to my bathroom, and I usually will say, I'm in the bathroom hiding. I want to say hi. How are you? I'm praying for you. And inevitably, mommy, mommy, and my friends get to hear that in the background too. But it's just a way to encourage one another. I can ask for prayer or share a verse. I don't know what it's going to look like for you. I don't know your current stage or what your life looks like, but I encourage you, challenge you to ask God to give you ideas for how you can invest time and effort into your friendships. But remember, friendships are usually not cultivated by sitting back and waiting for someone to reach out to you. It begins with us, even if they don't respond. Jesus is the perfect example because his speech was seasoned with grace and truth. And he always had life-giving words, even if they were hard words. Do you have friends, and are you yourself a friend that speaks the truth in love? That isn't afraid to confront a friend out of love for that friend, not out of judgment? One of my friends I know I can always count on will challenge me and call out lies she is seeing. Another friend of mine recently, I shared with her that I was struggling with spending too much time on the internet and on my phone. Anyone else? No? Am I the only one here? Come on, I'm not alone. Thank you, thank you. She could have just said, oh, I get it, I'll pray for you. And that would have been fine, but she didn't. She said, all right, here's your thing. You get 2 passes a day to get on the internet. I'm going to check back with you in a week and let me know how it goes. friendships are beautiful and refreshing when we challenge each other and push and spur each other on towards Christ. Proverbs 15:31 says, "The ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise." Do I always respond well? No. Once I received an email from a friend sharing some ways that I had hurt her, offended her, and I remember instantly getting defensive. Not sure if you ever get that way. But then the Lord reminded me that regardless of what you actually did, what I actually did, my friend was hurt. And I was called to love her and seek to understand her rather than be understood. After a night of sleep and time in the Word and prayer, I was able to understand her heart, see my blind spots, and seek forgiveness from her. Not only are we to speak the truth in love, but our general speech about our friends is to be helpful, to edify, to give grace to those who hear, and build others up. I think we need to be careful about using too much BFF language. I know you're not going around saying, "She's my BFF. Wear a necklace." But I think we need to be careful. When we post things on social media, whether it's Instagram or Facebook, we need to check our motives and whether or not our post will build others up or puff ourselves up. I think we're quick to do things, not intentionally meaning to hurt anyone, but without thinking of the effects it might have on others. I'm not talking about fearing man or seeking man's approval over God's. I'm talking about showing love to all, seeking to maintain unity in the body, and not being the reason why women feel left out, alone, excluded. We can also teach our kids about friendship. I know you have kids in here. As I'm a teacher for first through sixth graders and a volunteer in second grade Sunday school, I'm a teacher for first through sixth grade on Mondays. I know she didn't say I was a teacher. I'm not really a teacher, but that's what they get. They get me. I see plenty of situations where little girls as young as first grade spout out words like, "Well, she's my best friend, but you're still my friend." We can encourage our children to use language like, this is what we do at our home. We try to encourage our children to use language like, "She is one of my close friends," or "She's one of my best friends." We encourage our children to remember that only Jesus can be their best friend. Because I know what it's like to be left out. I know what it feels like to feel like, "Oh, I'm the third wheel." And I'm sure many of you do. So let's encourage our children. Let's teach them young. I know they want a best friend. And that's in us, right? We've talked about that. But only Christ can fill those shoes. Jesus also gave thanks and loved others as they were. Kind of goes along with what Kayla was saying about comparison, which breeds competition. I want to ask you, does gratefulness mark your friendships? Do you love your friends as they are? Do you celebrate their gifts rather than compare? Because comparison will lead to competition, or it will lead to judgment, and that will always kill your friendships. I have a friend of mine. Years ago, we talked and laughed together because I realized one day that she was really good at sewing, and I never will be good at sewing. And I'm okay with that. And she said, "Hey, you're really good at decorating," and I'm okay with that. And so we said, "Great. I will come to you for sewing, and you will come to me for house stuff." So she called me over one day and said, "Hey, can you come over and help me organize and decorate my house?" Love to. But I will tell you that 5 years ago, 10 years ago, I would have been like, "No, I've got to learn how to sew," or "I've got to be the best at this." And friends, I just want to encourage you, celebrate the gifts of your friends. Don't let it breed comparison and competition. Lastly, Jesus prayed for his friends. Do you? Do we pray for our friends? I bet we're all pretty good at praying for our kids, praying for ourselves not to lose it, right? Not to lose our sanity. But are we faithful to pray for our friends? Jesus is the best example of what a godly friend looks like. So let's look to him. Ultimately, friends, we need to trust him. We need to put our security in Christ, not our friendships. Friendships change. There are seasons for friendship. We make new friends And we are at times and seasons where we simply cannot see our friends as often as we like. We don't need to freak out or get clingy or weird. We need to trust the Lord and His sovereignty. He is faithful to watch over your friendships, ladies. He will bring the right ones at the right time. He will cultivate your current ones. But I've been that person before. I've become clingy before and weird. Thankfully, my friends are getting better at looking at me and being like, "You're being weird." And I'll say, "I know, sorry." We don't communicate enough as friends, I'll tell you that. We keep it in, and then we end up getting bitter. Just talk. Start talking with your friends. Talk about friendships with your friends. I had a friend that a couple summers ago, we went on a really long walk. Our husbands probably thought it was going to be 10 minutes. It probably was like an hour and a half. But it was a chance for us to just start sharing things about our friendship, my fears in our friendship, her fears in our friendship. And it was beautiful. Instead of assuming we knew everything about each other and getting angry or hurt or weirded out because she's being clingy or I'm being clingy, we talked. We brought it out into the light. I love this quote. Kelly Needham says, "A friendship functioning as God intended is beautiful because it's about making much of God, not one another. When clinging to Jesus is the goal, being open-handed with friends becomes less painful. Seeing others form new friendships doesn't need to be scary anymore because our security is found in Christ. A healthy friendship inflames our desires for God and promotes true dependency on God. As we find all we need in God, we are free to truly love our friends, not use them to meet our needs." There are seasons for friendship, and we need to be okay with this. Most of the time, it has nothing to do with anything you've done. It's not a reflection of your value or your desirability. The Lord gives and He takes away. And I think that once we accept that, once we trust the Lord, we make it less about ourselves and analyzing the situation, and we allow God to guide the friendship. Friends, Christ is our anchor in godly friendships because only He is the perfect friend. Only He gives us the true vision and reason for friendship, and only He is the standard for being a godly friend. But we're so forgetful, aren't we? I might remember this really well after I give this talk, and I could go have a coffee for a friend or coffee with a friend, or I could see a group of women talking on Sunday at church, and I forget, and I feel left out, and all these other things. But what do? How do we remember? We come back to our anchor friend through His word, through prayer, and through godly friends who push you towards your ultimate friend and where you do the same to them, ultimately trusting the Lord and putting your security in Jesus, because what a friend we have in Jesus. May you cultivate godly friendships anchored to the most precious friend ever, Jesus. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I thank You again for this morning. I thank You that You are the most precious friend. May You be our anchor. May we continue to come back to You as our anchor. May we trust You with our friendships. We love You, Jesus. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.